Now we have Anna Garner. Are you with us, Anna?
Hello, can you hear me?
Great, yeah. You're in New Mexico. I know that many people know you because of a couple of videos that with interviews with you that made quite an impression. So how's the situation in New Mexico as opposed to other states?
Well, it's very interesting to hear people from other countries talking about what's happening in their countries, because it's very similar here. We have 50 states, as you know, and each state has its own governor. And so New Mexico has an especially tyrannical governor, and other states are not quite as bad as we are. However, when I hear the story from Renata about Italy, and I hear about England, the UK, I'm just shocked. This is truly unprecedented. And I have 40 years of legal experience, and I have never seen anything like this. I've lived a nice long life. I thought I was going to retire, and then COVID happened. But I'm in the fight, and I'm in the fight as long as it takes and as hard as it takes. So I'm so grateful to be on a panel, a group of such esteemed attorneys who are fighting this and taking it, because we're all, you know, in some ways we're sort of shooting in the dark. We're against unprecedented odds in some ways. And yet I do feel that we will be victorious, and in part by getting the education out and convincing people about the truth of the matter. So I totally agree with you all that the PCR test, to me, is the card that is holding up the house of cards. It is. And when we extract that PCR test and show it for the falsity that it is, the rest of it has to collapse. The first lawsuit that we filed in New Mexico, Jonathan Diener and I, along with Thomas Renz from Ohio, the first case we had was challenging the state of public health emergency. And of course, it was a very long complaint. It's 126 pages, and it has 325 scientific footnotes, because we wanted to present our best scientific evidence that we could to the court, because we anticipated motions to dismiss, which of course we got a motion to dismiss, and the judge has been sitting on it now for some time. So we don't have a decision. We don't know what the problem is, why the judge is not making a decision. Typically, the outcome would be in a federal court anyway, which is where we are. Typically, rather than dismissing the case outright, if they felt we had some problems, such as lack of standing or failure to state a cause of action, they would allow us to amend. So I don't believe we would be completely dismissed, but we may need to amend our complaint. We might need to find other plaintiffs. There might be some variables that we can control that we can add in to strengthen our case. In the meantime, of course, we've all been on, an advanced PhD doctorate degree in fighting for our rights. And every month I learn something new. The same kind of conditional approval of the so-called vaccine that you have in Europe, we have the emergency use authorization in the United States. And that emergency use authorization, as it turns out, applies to mask wearing for the prevention of viral transmission. It applies to PCR testing, and it applies to the vaccine. So we recently filed another case where we challenged a mandatory vaccine that was the county manager of a town in the south of New Mexico. The county manager made it a requirement for continuation of their employment that the first responders all had to be vaccinated. We had many first responders capitulate before we could even file the suit on their behalf. And we had one brave lone standout who we have as a plaintiff who refused to take it, regardless of the coercion that was happening in his employment. Subsequently, they created such a hostile work environment that he had to leave. We were concerned that our case was going to completely disappear at that point. But we got another plaintiff, and our plaintiff agreed to continue so that we can continue with this. And we did alert the court to the fact that a hostile environment was created that made it unbearable for him to stay. So we amended the complaint. We'll be filing it in the next couple of days. We have to get leave of the court to do this. But we have added international customary norm type claim. We have found out that international law actually is considered by our federal courts. It has been adopted as common law by the U.S. Supreme Court. So we can use and will benefit from your victories that you're having in Europe and other places. So I want you to know we are having a united front here, and we do need to share information. Dominic, you have the similar case that I do. We're challenging the very basis of what is going on here, that there is no emergency. This is ridiculous. You know, where's the public health emergency? I don't even know a single person in my entire family cycle, anybody who's died. I know a couple of people who got a little sick about a year ago, including me, and got over it. But, you know, we would expect to see thousands of dead people in the streets the way they talk about this. We don't. It's fake. And they're scaring the living daylights out of everybody, including the judges. So we have to, you know, advance our positions. It helps to be in contact with people from other countries and other states. We have various laws in other states and various levels of the lockdown or the restrictions that are happening. So it helps us to also communicate with other attorneys in the United States. But, you know, we have a population of 2.1 million in New Mexico, and there are only a small handful of us attorneys here who are fighting it. And I asked the other attorneys, why can't, you know, you understand this hoax? Why aren't you able to fight it? Well, because we have the type of clients who would fire us, and they're afraid of losing their big clientele. I'm lucky. I'm a solo practitioner who works out of her home. You know, I don't even need the money, fortunately, because I'm not getting any. You know, we've only recently been able to get donations that are actually helping with a lot of cost, and now can help with even attorney's fees and paralegals, skilled people that we can have on our team. So we're very blessed to even have that kind of support coming. And it's coming really from all over the world, because people are getting wise to this false narrative that's happening. So we are now, as a result of the Vimer court decision, and Reimer, thanks for alerting us to that. As a result of that, now our next project and what we're working on right now is looking to file an injunction against the mask wearing for children. I have a couple of very excellent potential plaintiffs, and they are the parents of athletes, and they happen to be down south in New Mexico. It's already hot there. They're having summer already. And when the children have to wear a mask and run around outside, either on track or whatever, they are experiencing severe consequences. We have seen children pass out. We have seen children who bend over, doubled over, because they cannot get their breath. And so we are now putting this together, and I want to be able to send it to all of you for help and input, because we need that sort of input. On the amended complaint that we're filing right now for the against the county manager, I would like to send that. We're almost finished with it. I can send that one out now and have you take a look at that as well. We added a lot of other claims. Turns out we have a law I wasn't even aware of, because I'm researching a whole new area. I was doing personal injury, medical malpractice, a little FDA litigation, and then recently foreclosure law to help people against the banks who are about to lose their homes. So this is a new area of law for me, but I feel very qualified because I have a science background. I was pre-med, and I went a year towards my master's in genetics, and I studied genetics. And then I decided I was tired of going to school forever and thought, well, 3 years, I'm out of school, law school. So that's why I changed my course. But it turns out that was really the right decision, because now I am ready for the fight. So
And what you're talking about. They cannot fool you as far as the facts of these cases are concerned. The medical facts, that is. That's great.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You so, still represent the client who, I think he works in a...
the detention center.
Yeah, the detention center. Though. Is he still there?
No, he had to leave because of the hostile work conditions. But we did also get another plaintiff who had been fired for refusing the so-called vaccine. Mm-hmm. So we do have two plaintiffs. They're both detention officers. So we are proceeding with that. We're just not filing for injunctive relief to stop the coercion or hostile work environment because now they're gone. So that part is moot.
Yeah.
But what is not moot is we have a whistleblower action. We have the violation of customary international norms, human rights violations. We've added a few more counts that I think are really good. So I look forward to the comments that you guys will help us with.
Oh, yeah, great.
And I have a question. What do you think the judges, what kind of state of minds are they in? Do you think they're like under political pressure or are they willing to look at the cases like objectively in case they would be presented with a lot of, facts?
That's a very good question, and I do think that they are under some sort of pressure, but our federal judges are not elected, and they have less loyalty, shall we say, or obligation to our governor. The governor appoints our Supreme Court judges, but she has no say in who is sitting on the federal court. That's done by the president. And we have them federal judges who have been appointed by various presidents. So we have some very liberal ones, some conservative ones. We happen to have drawn a conservative one for one of our cases and a more liberal one for the second, for this most recent case. But what has just come out, interestingly, is a deposition of our public health director, who is an MD, a medical doctor, and she admitted that they had no scientific basis to support the use of the mask or even the social distancing or any of that. And so that has been making its rounds in America, in New Mexico anyway, that this is completely unscientific, yeah. Not a single shred of scientific evidence. They're coming out and admitting this. So I think that we're getting closer, and the judges are starting to see that. They said, oh, I've had this kind of case in front of me four times, and not once did the defendants present any scientific evidence, but the plaintiffs came in here with plenty of scientific evidence. So we're starting to hear a little bit of what I would consider optimistic rumblings by the judges.
Excellent.
And do you think a lot of them have fallen victim to to believing into the narrative? Is that also an issue that's maybe hindering them from looking at the, really digging into the legal case? Or is this, now they're getting more and more aware of what's going on?
The longer it goes on, I think the more awareness that's coming out. Yeah. Because even, Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch said, the Constitution can take a small break, but you can't shut it down forever. So I'm paraphrasing, but the longer it goes on, the less likely it looks like it's a public health emergency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that time is on our side at this point. I wish I had known some of this a year ago and filed it a year ago, but I was watching the cases that were happening and everybody was losing in New Mexico. I was going, no, you can't concede that there's a rational basis test to be applied. You have to say strict scrutiny. You have to have a higher level of scrutiny because this is so wrong and infringing on fundamental rights, fundamental human rights, the right to breathe, for God's sake. Understand how they can. Yes, the right to breathe.
We have a number of great experts who we're going to put in touch with you. Whatever you need, you'll get it. Because we have a huge pool of experts who are extremely helpful and are eager to help, too, because they cannot bear this. It makes their lives almost impossible to live because it's so unscientific.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you,
Ryan. They're coming also from all directions. You know, it's some people who are like still behind the scenes because they have their work for pharmaceutical industry or like they do whatever, they're even like working in maybe law firms and just cannot come out at this point, but they're all willing to help. So I think it's
getting better. It's getting better all the time. Okay.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. We're in touch anyway. We're not going to talk about this, but there's other things going on in the background, which we really enjoy working on. This may turn into a huge thing. We'll see. <Right. laughs> Okay, Anna, take it easy. We'll talk
thank
later.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.